Amen. Amen. I want to go back to, I've been dealing with this, and this is so key for where we are right now and understanding the nature of this, because it is now the place from which we do the entirety of our life. And if the truth be told, it's the place we're going to do the entirety of our eternity. Right. All of our life and eternity after life is intended to be lived in Him, in Christ. In Him we live, move, and have our being. We are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not seated beside Him, we're seated in Him, in His seat. It's a big difference. Amen. It's a big difference. We don't have a seat beside Christ. We have a seat on His seat in Him. Amen. And so we got to understand that in the name of Jesus, and I can't emphasize that enough, in the name of Jesus isn't necessarily something we say when we pray. In the name of Jesus, do this. In the name of Jesus is an actual spiritual reality. It is a spiritual location from which we do the entirety of our life. As we decide our life is going to be to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. As we say yes to being in love, we experience the benefit of being in Him. Right. Amen? We experience the power, the confidence, the grace of in Him to the degree we say yes to passion. To the degree that we say yes to one desire. Those that are seeking first, the Matthew 6 and 33 agenda, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, those are the individuals that now live out the in experience what it means to be in Christ. Amen? Amen. Love can never be left out if in Him is going to actually be realized, because in Him is no fear. And so as I'm in love in Him, I no longer fall victim to fear, because in Him is no sin. So as I through in love be in Him, I overcome sin. In Him is purity. So as I in love remain in Him, I walk in purification. He has been made unto us knowledge, wisdom, our righteousness, our promises, His divine nature. All is in Him. Everything God ever wanted to give us forever, He put in one man. A million years from now, we're going to be still living off of what He put in Him. Everything we ever needed for the rest of eternity is in one man. His name is Jesus. We cannot overemphasize the importance of in Him. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Amen. 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 We must guard jealously in Him. I like LeBron James, but LeBron James, God didn't put anything in LeBron James for me. So I can't be in LeBron James. Amen. Bless the Lord. You know, there's certain movies I watch, but I can't be in. We got to watch what we're in. Because we're in what we're into. If you're in the movies, you're in movies. Amen? If you're in the money, that means you're in money. We got to guard what we're into so we can remain in Him. Everybody following what I'm saying? It's a conscious, intentional in Him through being in love. Amen? And I'm going to tell you right now, When you're really in love, people have a problem with it, because most folks ain't in love. There's nothing wrong with my life. I'm in love. All you're seeing is a lifestyle of in love. That's it. It's not weird. It's not wrong. It's not fanatical. It's in love. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to go back here so we can deal with some things about the reality of being in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1. And I'm just going to walk this out until the Lord tells me any different. Amen. I'm gonna walk this out. This Ephesians text. The Lord says any different. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Paul is very intentional in overemphasizing in Christ. He's already said it from verse number 1. He's talking about in Christ Jesus, in Christ. Verse number 3, he's back at it. Verse number 4, according as he hath chosen us, where? In him. He's still back at it again. In him. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We get before him by being in him. You want to stay in his presence? Stay in him. In him is access to before him. In him is access to before the throne. That's for another day. Verse number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, where? In the beloved. You are in the beloved is Jesus. You are the beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He's still talking about being in one man. In the beloved. He is the beloved. The first begotten of God. Verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed where? In himself. We're still in him. Just in him. Everybody say in him. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everybody say again, in him. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That is such a profound verse. And we've touched on it, and that brought us to enthroning Jesus. If you notice, Ephesians 1 and 10 is up there. There's so much in that, the reality of that verse, and it's the solving of the mystery of God's will. In verse 10 is the solving of the mystery of everything that God set in motion, everything he set in motion. Verse number 10 solves that mystery. Right? I'm going to read it again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in one place. Even where? In him. In him, heaven is earth and earth is heaven. Heaven and earth are not separated in him. That's the mystery of his will. That's why he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in. He now solves the problem. In him, heaven and earth are no longer two different places. They're one place. In him. Amen. In him ain't your ticket not to go to hell. Just that. No, that's important. That's very important. But that is not the mystery of his will. We have not fulfilled his will if we say, oh, I'll punch my ticket out of hell. We have not fulfilled the will of God. That is not the mystery of his will. Amen? Father, we just thank you. And we just bless you right now. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise that you would speak clearly on this morning in such a way that the powers of the rivers of heaven would flood the house. And Lord God, that the waters would stream from under the door of the threshold. And and begin to flow out into the communities, that the kingdoms of this world will begin to become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. We bless you that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. We thank you that we're preaching what demands Omega. We're pulling Omega closer through the preached word of the living God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it now, that it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. I want you to put back up Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to work from there. If you have not, please get the teaching that we did in him. We did about three parts because I'm kind of just working towards it, and I don't have time to review all of that. You know, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, all spiritual blessings, all that type of stuff. But those are things that we have all ground that we've already covered, that we have record of. Could you turn that just a little bit so I don't, just a little bit. So stop turning my page without me turning it. All right, now we good to go. Bless his name. Bless his name. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7 first. And I want to show you something that's so, so key about being in him and functioning in him, in the benefit, in the experience, in the reality, where it's not just something mental. Amen. We have a generation that does not just want to have a mental faith. They want to feel and experience it. See, the younger generation, they're not leaving the church. They're just leaving an outdated form of church. There are more people walking away from the church as ever before than ever before. Not really. There are more people walking away from the whore of Babylon than ever before. But the true church of Jesus Christ is just fine. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. In whom we have redemption. Everybody say redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Everybody say redemption. Redemption is apollotrosis, is now the Greek word for redemption. And that's key in us understanding in him. It means, watch this, I'm dealing a little bit with atonement, because I believe, and I had all of the leaders read a book on atonement, and I'm praying that you read the book, and I'm praying that you study it so you can actually function in the reality of what we're releasing right now. Amen. And I got to deal with atonement, because I figured out many of the cracks in which why we keep on being defeated by the enemy is because we don't understand the nature of God's atonement on the cross. Right. Amen. So there's some fundamental things that we have to deal with concerning atonement. Redemption, apollotrosis, meaning the act of paying a ransom in full. In whom we have someone who paid our ransom in full through his blood, or with blood money. God Almighty, he paid with blood money. That word ransom means to literally, it also means to be released or delivered by payment of ransom, redemption. To be released or delivered by payment of ransom. Don't forget that. To be released or delivered by payment of ransom. Jesus paid a ransom for our redemption in blood money, or in other words, he paid in blood for our freedom. We know it's paid in full because it was paid in blood. See, this is what we got to understand. We at birth were in a sense kidnapped. Please hear what I'm saying. We at birth were in a sense kidnapped by sin, and sin held a ransom for our soul called perfect blood. We were born in sin, not in Christ. And sin said, if I'm going to let these children go, glory be to God, the only thing that can pay the ransom is perfect blood. There is only one thing that has authority to command sin and its effects to release us, a ransom price of perfect blood. See, right there, we ought to get excited, because no goat could give perfect blood, because no lamb could give
perfect blood. But there came a day at a Jordan River while a man named John was baptizing that he saw Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world." There's somebody that can make a payment. There's somebody that can make a payment. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So now redemption is to be implemented by payment of ransom. Seems basic, but I'm going to take it a little bit further. Redemption is to be implemented by payment of ransom. Our deliverance is not secured by way of battle. Jesus is not fighting the devil for our soul. Jesus is not fighting the devil to free you. Jesus is not fighting the devil for the devil to let you go, to break the addiction, to get you to stop sinning. Our deliverance is not secured by a fight. Please hear what I'm saying. It is to insult God to even claim that he had to fight with the devil. The devil is inferior to God. God and the devil have never fought. They have never wrestled. They have never toiled. They have never hit each other. The devil has never touch God. He ain't never fought the devil. That's foolishness. We're not redeemed by a fight. Read the book. In the battle of Armageddon, Jesus don't fight. He rides on a horse and opens his. God ain't never fought the devil. And he never will. He's supreme. He's untouchable. So this is what we got to understand about that. Because if we don't, now we'll give more power to the devil than he has and end up making God fight or thinking that God is fighting for something he's not fighting for. Our deliverance is not secured by way of battle, but by way of payment. If I don't understand that, I'll believe that Jesus is fighting with the devil to bring me out of sin. Some of you are in sin and God is not fighting the devil to bring you out. I'll believe that Jesus is fighting with the devil to bring me out of oppression or out of heaviness. We have a whole bunch of skits and plays. You remember the skit in the play where there was a person dancing and then the devil came in and started dancing with them? I think we did that too. And the devil came in and started dancing with that person, and then that person got bound by a whole bunch of little dark people in dark clothes all came around that person and they had that person bound up, and it showed Jesus step in and now break all the darkness off of the person. And then like they had about 20 people standing behind Jesus and he's doing this trying to push him back and get him off of that person. That is heresy. Jesus is not sitting there struggling with darkness trying to push it back. Why would he do that? And he paid for it. Why am I going to fight for something I paid for? Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. He's not fighting with the devil. He paid for our deliverance. He paid for our freedom. Oh, God Almighty. We have been so bound by it. That's good. Look at that. Look how he's fighting for me. He is not fighting for you. He paid a bill. We must understand atonement so we'll stop doing things that look good but with a form but have no power. No power. God doesn't fight for what he paid for. All he does is show the devil the receipt. All he does is show the devil the receipt, which is the record of payment for our deliverance from torment, oppression, and sin. Our deliverance has been paid for. We don't have to fight for it. Just have to be by faith, show the receipt. Can I help you this way? Because we ain't got it yet. Because we still don't understand atonement. If I buy a sofa and I pay for that sofa in full at the furniture
furniture store and I have a receipt, and when I go to redeem that sofa, when I go to secure that sofa, when I go to deliver that sofa to my house, the store manager will not let me. I am not going to fight with the store manager to try to deliver my sofa. I am not going to fight with the store manager to try to free my sofa. I'm going to get the receipt out and I'm going to show it to the store manager that you can no longer hold my sofa because I paid for it. Y'all miss what I just said right here. I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus paid for your deliverance, and all he wants you to do is get the receipt out called the gospel, that he died, was buried, on the third day he was resurrected, and by his stripes you were healed. By his stripes the addiction is broken. By his stripes you are clean. By his stripes there is no fighting. If you're fighting, you are fighting a losing battle. Why would the sofa fight to be free and it's been paid for? God, this is what we got to understand about atonement. That's why we can't be free, because we think there's still something fighting for our freedom. He didn't fight for freedom. He paid for it. My God, when he dragged that cross up Calvary's hill, he was paying for it. My God, when those nails went through his wrists, he was paying for it. My God, when he hung on a cross while the temperature was about 120 degrees, he was paying for it. My God, when they got bitter juice and herbs and tried to make him drink bitter juice while he was taking his last breath, he was paying for it. When he lifted up his hands to heaven and said, Father, unto thy spirit I commend my spirit, he was paying for it. The gospel is the receipt of our deliverance. It was paid for in full. The gospel is the receipt that every demon and devil respects. Just like that store manager, I'm here to tell you, addiction to try to stop you and say you can't be free, but God said, just show them the receipt I gave you. My God, perversion to try to stop you and tell you you can't come, you can't leave. God, the Father says, just show them the receipt that my son gave you. Hell respects and honors the receipt. There is no demon that won't respect the receipt. You can't fight for what was paid for. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor it was paid for. All we got to do is show depression the receipt. And depression will honor the receipt and say, okay, you can go free. All we got to do is show the sexual soul tie the receipt. And the sexual soul tie will respect the receipt and say, okay, I got to release you. All we got to do is show the generational curse our receipt. Y'all missing what I said. And the generational curse will say, okay, it's been paid for. I got to let you go. I can't trick you anymore and tell you that you got to fight to be free. You finally figured out there's been an emancipation proclamation. You figured out that there's been a bill that has been paid that says where the Spirit of the Lord is. All of heaven, all of hell honors and submits to the receipt called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm going to say that again. That ought to make something jump inside of you. All of hell honors the receipt called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is not the son of man. He is a son of God. He is not just a prophet. He's the Son of God. He is not just an apostle. He's the Son of God. He is not just a man in the book. He is the book of God. He is the man that came down from heaven that a man may eat and live forever. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning he was with God, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he give power to become the sons of God to all that believe in him. My God, he's God's son. and he paid the bill. My God, if anxiety is running you crazy right now, show it the bill. God, if stress is running you crazy right now, show it the receipt. Oh, glory be to God. If there is an addiction that's trying to tell you you can't leave, show it the receipt. You have a right to leave now. Deliverance is not a process. Deliverance is not a journey. Deliverance has been paid for. The moment you're, glory be to God, I'm going to say that again. Deliverance is not a process. Can't nobody change overnight. No, you can change in a twinkling. I know nobody change overnight. You are belittling the gospel. Changing overnight is too long. Change in a twinkling, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The moment you get this glory on the inside of you, I'm telling you, addiction for 30 years, done in a twinkling of an eye. I'm telling you, bondage for 25 years, done in a twinkling of an eye. Stop saying you can't change overnight. That's too long. Why are you gonna wait a night? And it's been paid for now.
Can't nobody change overnight. Good. Just change in a moment then. Get your receipt. Don't ever tell your neighbor, God gave me a receipt. Jesus paid for our freedom with blood money, and he gave us a receipt. Jesus paid for our victory with blood money, and he gave us a receipt. Do y'all hear what I said? Jesus paid for our purity with blood money, and he gave us a receipt. I got to be pure. No, it was paid for. I got to live holy. It was paid for. I got to be free. It was paid for. Just get out your receipt. Hallelujah. Do you understand that not only hell respects the receipt, but heaven does too? Because some of us don't feel worthy. I know God ain't going to hear my prayers because everything I did, get out the receipt. The receipt is you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The receipt is you come boldly to the throne of grace. The receipt is there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The receipt is if you ask anything in me, it shall be done. The receipt is you shall live and not die. Now, heaven honors the receipt just like hell honors the receipt. Would you go get a chair for me and just sit it right here real fast? The Lord, through the gospel, seats us in a position called paid for. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I'm seated in a place called paid for. Our responsibility, please hear me, is to keep our receipt so we can maintain our seat in a position called paid for. We keep our seat through faith and testimony. So all God is saying is, when the devil tells you, I ain't finna let you go, sit down. Sit down in a seat called paid for. When you feel the temptation coming, sit down in a place called paid for. My God, can I take it a step further? Even if you mess around and go back into the foolishness, sit down in a place called paid for. Stay in the seat called paid for. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, sit in a seat called paid for. Why do I sit? Because I ain't got to do nothing. See, until you sit down, you can't benefit from this one. I sit down. The only time I sit down is when I recognize I ain't got nothing I gotta do. If I gotta do something, I ain't gonna sit down. I gotta stand on my feet and get work done. But when I recognize I'm in a seat called pay, sitting down, let the devil know you ain't gonna fool me. I ain't gotta do nothing. I don't care how I feel. I ain't gotta do nothing. I don't care if I feel depression. I ain't gotta do nothing. I don't care if lust kinds of come upon me. I ain't gotta do nothing. I don't care if I feel like giving up. I ain't gotta do nothing. I'm still gonna sit in this seat and show you the receipt called paid for. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I ain't got to do nothing.
Wow.
Man, I don't know about you, but I almost danced when I got that. I almost lost my doggone mind. I was in my office, and I almost tried to do a turbo ozone break dance. I'm talking about ticking. I'm talking about getting on my head and spinning around. You telling me I got a seat? I'm electric boogaloo. Y'all don't know nothing about electric boogaloo, ozone, and turbo. I'm electric boogaloo in this thing. I'm L.A. gear. I'm ready to get some L.A. gears and some lights. And glory, Peter. Y'all know nothing about that. B Street, baby. The king of the beat. I still know it. I ain't gonna show my age like that. Man, I'm ticking. I'm ready to spin on my head. I'm ready to centipede. All I gotta do is sit. My receipt gives me a seat. My receipt gives me a seat in a seat called paid for. Watch this. Glory be to God. Watch this. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 8. I'm so glad y'all can't see me when this stuff happens. I'll probably embarrass myself a whole bunch. You know, the Lord will feed you, you mess around and do the. Then when I preach, I just be going crazy stuff like, dog. I'm sorry, y'all. That was kind of corny. I just be there. Lord, you fed me. I'll just, oh. And then I'll, ooh, get on the. That's too much. All right, I'm done. Man, y'all don't know nothing about that. You know, when, man, look, when two jokers will be battling each other and one will try to throw it off on them and he'll. They be battling. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Jokers be battling, boy. Right? I'm done. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I did that. Ephesians 1, verse 8. All right. Back to the stuff. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Look at this. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That's a very, very profound verse. I'm going to read it again. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is so key. Paul here isn't dealing with redemption through his blood in this verse, but what abounds toward us after we've secured our seat in a place called paid for, which is redemption through his blood. He's not talking about redemption through his blood. He's talking about what happens after we secure the seat of redemption in his blood called paid for. In other words, this is what I'm trying to say, and I know I got to keep saying it because I know it takes more than one time. Being free within itself isn't our destiny. He said, that ain't really what God didn't free you so you could walk around and say, I'm free. God didn't deliver you so you could walk around and say, I'm delivered. God didn't pay the ransom for you so you can dance all night long and just say, look at how bound I was and look at how free I am. Although we are to dance hard about how we were bound and how we were set free. Although we're supposed to get the tambourine and shout and dance. He said, but there's something after that. And I can't stop saying that, so we'll understand that we haven't did our part. See, we are co-laborers with Christ. We are partners with him. We are to be yoked with him. He does what we can't do, so then he yokes himself so we can do something together with him. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And so after freedom and deliverance by faith, how do I show the receipt? How many of you got a receipt that you were redeemed? How do you show the receipt? The gospel. By faith. Am I holding my receipt? No. This receipt does me no good on these pages. This receipt only does me good in my mouth.
Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the ears that need to hear it out of the mouth, they need to hear it out of your mouth. It ain't good enough coming out of my mouth. Your ears need to hear your mouth declare the receipt. Amen. I pull out my receipt by faith. By faith. Right? And so now there's something after we secure salvation. And that thing is, he brings us into freedom. He brings us into deliverance so we can begin to live life in a dimension the Bible calls abounding. Everybody say abounding. Wherein he hath abounded toward us. Abounding is abundance. Abounding is overflow. Abounding is that which has no end to it. God's intention for us in Christ is to seat us, please hear me, in a position called paid for, so we can ultimately live life in a dimension called abounding or abundance. We were created for abundance. This is the key. We were created to live in an abounding life. I came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. We were created for abounding life. Everybody hear what I'm saying? But this is the key. The Father doesn't so much bring us into abounding, or in other words, abundance. He causes abounding to begin to move toward us. Do y'all see that? I'm going to read that again. He says now, wherein he hath abounded, where? We don't run for abundance. Abundance runs after us. He now says, when you sit in the seat called paid for, you don't live a life chasing abundance. You don't live a life chasing abounding. Abounding in abundance begins to move toward you. Abundance comes to us in a manner called toward us. I'm going to say that again. Abundance comes to us in a manner called toward us. Toward is in the direction of. In him, watch this, he gives abundance a direction called toward us. We are not called to chase it. It's called to chase us. Abounding or abundance begins to come toward us as we're seated in a place called paid for. So now what happens, Javante, if you can come sit in this seat. Javante has decided to pull out his receipt, and so he's seated in a seat called paid for. Glory be to God. And now this is the key. Holding our seat with the receipt, amen, as he does that, God then says, okay, because you said you understand you don't have to do nothing, then I did everything, then abundance begins to get up and start coming towards you. So now Dwayne, stand up. Abundance ain't right there all the time, but you better believe once you're sitting in the seat called paid for, abundance begins to work itself toward you. Don't walk fast, walk real slow. I'm talking about this tippy toe inch. You're still walking too fast. Just inch up, inch up, inch up, inch up, because you got to endure some stuff if you're going to see abundance. You got to endure some stuff if you're going to see abounding. It ain't going to happen overnight. You got to learn how to. You're still moving too fast. Go back. Go back to the door, all the way to the door. It don't move that fast, because God teaches us. God trains us. God develops us. God matures us. And God prunes us. Abundance moves like this. And God got it timed. You will not die before you see this. You will not lose your life before you see this. You will not be taken out before you see this. But abundance inches itself towards you little by little. Why? Because once the enemy sees you sitting in your seat with your receipt, he comes to tempt you. The tempter comes and tells you, if you really were the Son of God, why ain't you got no bread? If you really were the
Son of God, why did you lose your job? If you really were the Son of God, why did your lights get cut out? If you really were the Son of God, why are you struggling still? Why is pornography still knocking on your door? And all the devil is doing is trying to keep you from abundant life. He knows what's coming. He sees you seated, and he knows what's coming. So I got to make you think you got to get up and do something, because I need you to get up before abounding shows up. Y'all miss what I just said. I need you to get up before abundance shows up. So you better go and work for your salvation. Go, 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 go. I got unbelief fall on him. Worry fall on him. Anxiety fall on him. God, works of man fall on him. I'm on trying to bring you back into the law. You got to read a certain time. You got to pray a certain amount of time. You got to do this here. You got to do that. And so what ends up happening, I begin to believe I got to do something, and I get up out of my seat and I begin to go and work. And then abounding still comes. Abounding comes and finds the seat empty. I'm here to tell you, we have walked away from too many harvests. Glory be to God. You've sown the seed and walked away before you got your harvest. I refuse to sow seed in ground and leave before abundance shows up. Some of you are dealing with worry. God's word to you today is get out your receipt and stay in your seat. Some of you are dealing with oppression. God's word to you is get out your receipt and stay in your seat. Some of you are dealing with confusion. God's word to you is get out your receipt and stay in your seat. If you're up, sit back down. If you feel like you gotta sit back down, I paid for it. I know your family seems like it's falling apart. I paid for it. I know your marriage seems like it ain't working. I paid for it. I know your health ain't what you think. I paid for it. My God, I paid. Don't miss your abounding. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because abounding doesn't come to you. It comes towards you because it has to close the distance, because God doesn't give it to you up front. Because the faith that you develop while it's on the way is more important than it getting here. The journey is greater than the destination. We always want to get to the destination, and God wants to keep us in the journey. His purpose is the path. We make our purpose the end. We just want to follow the rainbow to get to the, but the rainbow is the point. Why? Because that's covenant. Man, we're steady trying to get to the end of the rainbow when the rainbow itself is actuality of the covenant. I'm making a covenant with you, Noah. Never again will I flood the earth. Never again will I destroy the earth by water. And I'm going to give you a covenant of rainbow. Do you understand? He wrote a covenant with Noah eon thousands of years ago. And you can go outside today because God is good on his word. I know Noah ain't here, but the rainbow still is, because the promise that I made to you, Noah, I'm gonna make sure that I fulfill it. I'm telling you, God wants to give you promises of things that your children will see 3,000 years from now. He wants to bring us into covenant. We just want to get the treasure at the end of the rainbow. We got to enjoy the rainbow. We got to learn how to appreciate the rainbow. Yes, sir. Where the sun hits the atmosphere. I'm talking about the rainbow. Where the sunlight hits the atmosphere in such a perfect way that it now protrudes different colors connected to each other in a bow. What he was saying was, Noah, I'm making a covenant with you that my light will come in and still shift atmospheres. And when I shift an atmosphere, you're going to see something. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God is still a God of his promise. You could go ahead.
Good. Good. The enemy uses worry to get us out of our seat, but it's been paid for. The enemy uses fear to get us out of our seat, but it's been paid for. I want to let you know right now that if you are incurring fear, again, anxiety and stress, the word of the Lord to you is right now, sit back down. Keep your seat. Don't miss what the Father has coming towards you. I'm here to tell you something is coming towards you. Something that I have not seen. Something that ear has not heard. Something that has not entered into the heart. Root yourself by the rivers of the word. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Take your seat, for he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Listen to this, and I'm going to shift gears a little bit. But that's so important that we understand that. Receiving what the Father has abounding toward us, right, by maintaining our seat in a place called paid for, can't be overemphasized. You know the reason why? Because, see, our problem is we stop right there. I want my abundance. I want, but it's bigger than even that. Right. There's more to it. Amen. You know why? Because in experiencing that abounding, we have access to both know and express the will of God. Without abundance, we cannot know the will of God. And without abundance, we cannot express the will of God. I'm going to say that again. Without abundance, because when I'm talking about abundance of not just money, favor. I'm talking about the abundance of oil. I'm talking about the abundance of influence. I'm talking about the abundance of mantled leadership. I'm talking about the abundance of apostolic reach. I'm talking about the abundance of prophetic insight. I'm talking about the abundance of power in prayer. I'm talking about the abundance of now influence in intercession. I'm talking about the abundance of boldness to speak to any man, white, black, indifferent. God, give us boldness, because they have sent threats down to us. And the Bible says boldness was so important that God shook the atmosphere and filled them with the Spirit again. I'm talking about abundance. The reason why we don't talk to folk who need the word is because we ain't in enough abundance to. That's a matter of abundance. The will of God cannot be expressed nor known without abundance. We were created for abundance. I'm going to say that again. We were created for abundance. We were created for more than enough. Amen. Watch this. So with that being said, I'm going to say this again. Experiencing that abounding through remaining in the seat called paid for is what allows us to first know the will of God and secondly express it. I say sadly that being able to know the will of God and express the will of God is rarer in the church than ever before. Right. There are so few people that actually know the will of God, and those that do think it's freedom. Right. I know I've been set free. Well, do the will of God then. I know God changed me. Well, do the will of God then. That wasn't it. That was necessary for you to do it. Amen. Is that all right? Many believers just flat out lack the necessary amount of discernment to recognize the will of God and therefore never fulfill it. On the other hand, there are those who can discern the will of God but lack the necessary measure of surrender to the Holy Spirit to now implement the will of God. So they walk around like Lot with their soul vexed. Right? Because Lot got a lot, but Lot ain't got no power or influence. So I walk around the job talking about how crazy everybody. I just can't wait to leave that job because the way they talk just get on my nerves. Well, you're supposed to be the abounding influence of the kingdom that through salt shifts environments. So now I know the will of God ain't that. I know the will of God don't function like that. But I now lack the necessary surrender to the Holy Spirit to actually implement kingdom influence in it. It just vexes me and I run from it.
Right? Why? Because we can only know and express the will of God when we're seated in a place called paid for and we're receiving the abounding abundance toward us because we're seated in that seat. What abounding abundance is everything that God gave Jesus coming to us. Everything that God gave Jesus coming toward us is the abounding abundance. I'm going to say that again. Everything that God gave Jesus is the abounding abundance coming toward us. Well, hold on. What did he give Jesus? Everybody say everything. He gave him everything. He gave him all things. He gave him all power in heaven and earth. He gave them every promise. He gave him authority over the cosmos. He gave him authority over the weather patterns. He gave them authority back over the beasts. He gave them authority back over the economy. I don't care if I don't have a job. I can command fish to give me paid. He now had all things. And that's what is abounding. The abundance that comes towards us as long as we stay in the seat called paid for. Because God can't pay us for our work. But he can pay him for his work. Watch this. Ephesians 1 verse 9. And I know these are some fundamental things, but we need to understand these things. We don't understand these things and it trips us up. Amen. And so I'm really going to spend a lot more time verse by verse. I'm seeing that God is really shifting me to more of a verse by verse expository type of teaching. And that's fine. Amen. Because he's just going to give us what we need. Ephesians 1 verse 9. Watch this. It says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Daddy. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purpose where? There's only one location from which we can fulfill the will of God. That is in Christ. There's only one location from which we can please God. That is in Christ. Amen. So now we must understand that. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. We don't please God by being in a denomination. We don't please God by being in a movement. God ain't necessarily pleased because we're in this revival, this outpouring that we're in now. Because we can be in an outpouring and not be in Christ. We can be in a denomination and not be in Christ. Glory be to God. In order to do his will and function in a place called pleasing him, we must get what's abounding toward us. And that which is abounding toward us is that which belongs to him. And it only comes toward us as we're seated in a place called paid for. Don't ever tell your neighbor, I'm seated in a place called paid for, which is in him. Now, this is the big one. That in the, do we still have that partition that was sitting in this corner? If so, can we grab that? Ephesians 1:10. Matter of fact, put up the slide. Go ahead and put up the one slide that I have. I'm about to close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That Ephesians 1:10 is the first one. And this is our banner. This is what took us on this journey that brought us into the Glorious Remnant Revival community and the release of the rivers that the Lord is releasing and the outpouring that he's pouring. Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. Where? Is he talking about us being one in Christ? Not specifically, but yes. He's talking about us being one in Christ, but he's also talking about something bigger because we're the church. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Right? Ephesians 2 and 4, 14. For he is our peace, which hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Y'all see that? His will is that in him there is no separation between heaven and earth. That in him heaven and earth are one. In him going to the throne of grace is as simple as going to the store for milk.
I can go to the throne of grace just like I go to the store for milk. Religion doesn't like to believe that. Why? Because religion wants to make it hard. Religion wants to make it tedious. And religion wants to pat itself on the back because I talk to God. I need to other people to know that I somehow earn what I'm feeling with God, what I'm dealing, what I'm hearing from God. I want people to know that I grinded for it. I want people to know that I left all. I want people to know that I did it. And so there's a part of me that doesn't want to believe going to the throne of grace is as easy as going to IGA and going to put some milk on the counter, because in Him, heaven and earth are. But we can't earn approaching Him. Oh, glory be to God. So it can't be something that we now work for. So in Him, we don't have to beg for healing to come from heaven. In Him, we pull healing from heaven while we're yet on earth. This is the key. This is the key. If you put this up, amen, come and put this partition up. I'm going to put this seat right here, right, and put it this way, this way. Right? We got a partition. We got a partition. What makes this partition, y'all mind if I just do some basic stuff? What makes this partition is something called the law. Anytime we're focused on fulfilling the law, there'll always be a partition. Because the law doesn't make us righteous. The law proves that we're in unrighteousness. If I got to tell you not to commit adultery, that means you're still subject to the nature of adultery. If I got to tell you not to, glory be to God. And so now it's proof that we are not operating in divine nature yet. And so there's a separation. I need healing to come on this side. I need breakthrough to come on this side. I need everything standing. I need the miraculous to come on this side. I need the supernatural to come on this side. Glory be to God. Amen. I need the power and anointing of God to come on this side. Amen. All these spirit, eternity, blessing, breakthrough, victory, abundance, they're all here. They're all here, right? I'm over here. There's actually a wall in between that and me. And so now I become the beggar, and I'm in ministry, by the way. I'm a preacher. I'm in ministry. I'm a minister. I'm an elder. And I'm not even in Christ to the degree where heaven and earth are one. And so what I got to do is I got to go knock on the door. God, would you give these people a miracle? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you come through? God, would you have mercy? Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. Why? Because I'm not really where He is, so I got to knock on the door for bread in the name of Jesus. In the name, I'm not in Jesus, so I knock on Jesus. Y'all miss what I said? Because He is the door. He comes to the door and begins to beg for bread because He's now trying to get access for something He's not in yet. He's knocking on the door because He's not in the door. He is the door. Glory be to God. Please, please give a breakthrough to these people. Please, please change. I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. And it's like Russian roulette. It's like rolling the dice. 7-Eleven. It might come and it might not. And then when it comes, come on over, Josiah. Glory be to God. The miracle comes. Hallelujah. God came through at the last minute. The bill was paid. God came through at the last minute. He took away the cancer. God came through at the last minute. He changed the circumstance. What's the problem? The problem is I still ain't got life. I just got a miracle. I'm no better than Israel in the wilderness getting manna. That's not what we're called to. But God says this. He says, when you are willing to say it's been paid for, as long as you ain't standing up and you sit down. Once you sit down, God says it takes away the middle wall of partition. And now heaven and earth are one. Come here, Marlene, you need healing. And I'm in a seat. Glory be to God. Marlene, stand on this side. Marcus, come stand. You need healing, and I'm in this seat. Well, guess what? In this seat, heaven and earth are one. So I'm going to take your hand and your need with one hand, and I'm going to take healing with the other hand. And because heaven and earth are one, I'm going to take healing out of heaven and pull it down into earth and release your healing. You go in peace. And because I'm seated in this seat, I need a breakthrough in my marriage. Glory be to God. What God has put together, let no man set asunder. But in him, the middle wall of partition is broken down, and there is oneness. I'm going to pull your miracle from heaven.
Come here, miracle. I'm going to take heaven, and I'm going to merge it with earth, even in here.
And you go with your miracle. Come here. I suffer from migraine headaches. Well, I'm going to grab you with one hand because I got dual citizenship. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm a citizen of earth, and I'm also a citizen of heaven. And I'm going to take healing of
connect heaven with earth.
You can go with healing from my grace. In him, the middle wall of partition is broken down. Heaven and earth are one. The miraculous is with us. Healing is with us. Emmanuel is with us. Breakthrough is with us. Power is with us. Miracles are with us. He is with us. Our God is among us.
In him, the middle wall, and you, an intercessor is an intermediate. I don't stand between heaven and earth, I sit.
Real intercessors don't stand, they sit. I'm an intercessor. I sit between heaven and earth and look at earth's need because earth ain't got access like I do. And look at earth's need because earth can't touch heaven like I can. But in him, heaven and earth are.
God is calling us in him. You hopeless. Come here. Come here, hopelessness. Guess what? Hope is an anchor. You know what hope is? You know, are you hopeless? Because hope is the anchor of the soul that goes beyond the veil. Come on. But for me, because I'm seated, the veil has been rent in two.
Come on.
There is no veil. You need hope.
Come here, hope.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you in the name of God. You shall live and not die. Suicide will never return to your life. You can go on. That's what we are supposed to be doing, business for the kingdom. Every time people come through those doors, they come into a meeting with Congress. We're in the House. We got seats in the House. The House seats are up for election. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We have been elected according to grace. So now they come in. They come into men and women of God who are seated in governmental authority. Because God did not bring us here to have church. God bring us here to establish a government that he brought into the earth on his own shoulders. The Bible says the government shall be, and we begin to govern heaven on earth through our praise. We begin to govern heaven on earth through our worship. We begin to govern heaven on earth through our prayer. We begin to govern heaven on earth through our hope.
I thank God that you're free. Now take your seat. We got some governing business to take care of. I thank God that you're liberated. Now take your seat. Darlington needs deliverance. I thank God that you're free. Now take your seat. There's some alcoholics that don't want to drink no more, and they need a people that can take their seat and pull glory.
In him, heaven and earth are one. There is no separation. I'm still in earth, but I got access to heaven while I'm on earth, so I can bring heaven into earth. Thy kingdom come. A king, thy will be done. In earth. As it, how I'm going to do in earth as it is in heaven unless I'm a citizen of heaven before I go to heaven. Come on, somebody bless him in this place. Thank you all. Y'all can sit down. There's some fundamental stuff. That's why you got to have your receipt so you can take your seat so you can know if you are dealing
with nervousness, you're dealing with something that is illegally trespassing on your heart. You're a trespasser. Anxiety has no right to be a part of my life for the rest of my life. Because I gotta govern.
Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Peace is forever. Because I gotta govern. Joy unbroken because I gotta govern. Until you begin to understand your destiny is not to be free, but to govern the miraculous, to govern the supernatural, you always need to get free. Or you always need to fight to stay free. We don't fight for freedom. We never have fought for freedom. God never fought the devil for freedom. Never. He said, I lay my life. He didn't even fight him when he died. Because he said, man, you don't get it, Pilate. You just don't really understand, do you? You do not have any control over me because it's out of my control. I could call 12 legions of angels right now, and one of those angels will lift their hand, and all of y'all fall dead. If the angels come, they ain't even going to speak. Their presence will kill you. You don't even understand. This ain't got nothing to do with being here because somebody made me be here. But I came to lay down my life as a ransom for many. The devil, when he killed him, Jesus didn't fight him then. If the princes of this world would have known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. God has never fought the devil. Stop fighting him. He ain't never fought him. The only reason why he died is so he could get access to the one place he didn't have access to. Hell. One thing I can't do as God is go to hell unless I die. And hell messed around one day and got a knock on the door. Oh my God, what was written of the king is here. The devils are looking around and saying, our king is here. We tried to run from him. We tried to run to the earth and he found us on the earth. We tried to run to hell and he found us on hell. And he's knocking on the door right now saying, give us the keys. Give us the keys. Y'all missed it. Not give me the keys. Give us the keys. Give us the keys. For I shall give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth. Can you feel government raising up in you? Can you feel authority raising up in you? Can you feel destiny raising up in you? I was made for this. My God, I was made to command demons. I was made to lay my hands on sick. I was made to walk with my chest out and my head up because my head is in heaven. Literally. Ain't nothing on earth that can deal with a head that's in heaven. I can imagine that devil that came with those keys. One demon looked at the other demon, Jeremiah, and he said, I ain't taking them, you take them. The other demon looked at the other demon and said, I ain't taking them, you take them. And then the other demon looked at hell and said, this is your place. This is your place, you take them the keys. And so hell, if you can imagine it, as much as we've exalted the power of hell, hell is walking up to Jesus, not even wanting to put his eyes, because as he gets closer to light, it hurts him. He's being damaged by the light that he's breaking those keys to. And by the time he gets to him, he has to bow and crawl and place the keys down on the floor and crawl back from the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord God, strong and mighty. He's the Lord God, mighty.
I owe you my life.
I'll give everything for you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, I dare you to bless him in this room. He's worthy of the praise. I dare you to glorify him in this place. He's worthy of the praise. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord God strong, and he's the Lord God mighty, with faithful and true written on his thigh, with hair like wool, with feet bronze, burned in a furnace, girt about with a golden pap, who opens his mouth, and his voice is as a sound of many waters. His very own throne praises him. He has voices coming out of his throne. His own throne has to give him praise. Can we come on, Philip, to play? I need you to play something. My God. My God. My God, I can't wait till I see when Jesus got the keys. He's going to let us see it one day. He's going to let us see it with our real eyes. My God, let me take that back. Our heart is our real eyes. I'll take that back. These are our secondary eyes. Listen, just begin to play something of worship. Come on, Dabakan. Would you get my keys up? Come on, Dabakan. If that won't make you bless the Lord, if that won't provoke you unto an appreciation, nobody can do that but our God. Come on, your God and my God did that. Come on, our God did that for us. Come on, our Jesus, we have a captain who did that for us. And that same King that did that said, I'm living in you. He's living in me. He's living in us. Everybody standing to your feet. We're about to.